You are now seated on the south side of the choir. Number 5 on the plan.
This is the heart of the cathedral, where services have been held daily since 1093. More than 1,100 services are held in the cathedral every year, fulfilling the function for which it was built, the worship of God and a centre for spiritual unity for the diocese and the wider community. When Winchester was a monastic community, only its members would have been admitted to the choir. Now everyone is welcome to attend services here and take part in the worship. A daily prayer is said for the Abbey of Fleury, where the bones of St. Benedict are said to be enshrined, as a remembrance of the Benedictine monastery which was established here in about AD 963 and dissolved in 1539. You will hear the sounds from the nave to the west come in through the openwork panels of a choir screen, while the sound to the east is blocked by the great screen behind the high altar. The sounds from the choir aisles on either side will also filter in through the panels of the stone screens on each side. Listen now to an anthem recorded during the service of Evensong, which takes place here most days at 5:30 p.m. Please ask about service times. Evensong makes a very restful end to a busy day, as you will realize when you hear this anthem, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace," by Samuel Sebastian Wesley, an organist of the cathedral in the 19th century.
Thank you.
The console of the organ you heard is situated on the south side of the choir, and the pipes are on the north side. It was made by Father Henry Willis, head of the famous firm of organ builders, and was purchased by the Dean and Chapter after the Great Exhibition of 1851 at the request of Samuel Sebastian Wesley. It was recently refurbished by Harrison and Harrison of Durham. The choir consists of 12 lay clerks and 18 boys. The boys attend the Pilgrim School.
The area of the choir you are now seated in is called the presbytery. To your left, on a lower level, are the choir stalls, situated under the tower, which, as you heard, collapsed in 1107. For many years this event had been attributed to the fact that the evil King William Rufus had been buried under it. A more likely cause was the foundation sinking into the unstable ground, although William of Malmesbury, the 12th century chronicler, thought the collapse was due to bad workmanship. There are two rows of wooden choir stalls on each side, and behind them, against the wall, are tall canopied stalls. To your right, on a higher level, is the sanctuary, with a high altar and great screen behind it. This tall 15th century screen is a magnificent mass of statues standing on pedestals under carved canopies. The choir was part of the rebuilding program in the early 14th century. The clusters of columns are slim and support elegant pointed arches with many layers of mouldings. Above the arches, tall windows let light into this area, which is much brighter than other places in the building, as you may be able to see. Overhead is the network of vaulting ribs. The vaulting here is wooden, but imitates the stone vaulting of the nave. On either side of the presbytery are the stone screens installed in the 16th century during the time of Bishop Fox. You followed them along earlier. Bishop Fox was also responsible for the painted wooden chests containing the bones of English monarchs and bishops who were buried here before the Norman conquest in 1066. These are set on top of the screens and can be seen best against artificial light. Behind you is the 19th century wooden cathedra. This is the seat sometimes occupied by the Bishop of Winchester when he attends services here. The cathedral provides a focus for the ministry of the bishop, who oversees the pastoral care of his diocese, which covers about 300 parishes. The dean and chapter of Winchester are responsible for the ministry, maintenance, and day-to-day running of the cathedral.
Get up now and cross over the presbytery to the desk on the opposite side. When you've reached the desk, stop and turn left and follow the front of it along to the other end. Continue for another two or three paces to find, on your right, the curved wooden handrail and newel post of the steps leading up into the choir pulpit. Stop by this. Switch off now and on again when you're by the steps leading into the pulpit. Hold the post in your right hand, turn to the left to find the other post, then having found it, put your hand forward to find the pulpit. This tall, slim structure was given in the early 16th century by Prior Silkstede, one of the last priors before the dissolution. Feel the decoratively carved panels of the pulpit, some of which have twisted skeins or loose coils of silk, a pun on the name of Silkstede. Move to the left to find the back row of carved wooden choir stalls set against the wall.
These superb wooden stalls, or seats, and the tall canopies above them, have survived for nearly 700 years and are amazingly complete. They may have been the work of William Lingwood from Norfolk. The richly carved panels above the stalls show imaginative leaf designs with human faces and many different animals. These stalls were originally used by the monks, and today some of them are occupied by the dean and canons of the cathedral during services. Under each seat is a ledge, and under these are carvings. The seat nearest to you, which has a cord in front of it, may be tipped up. If it is not, carefully tip it up now.
You may have to remove the cushion first, and feel under it for a ledge called a misericord. This was for infirm and elderly monks to perch on during the frequent daily services without actually sitting. The carvings under this seat show in the centre a man's head. The carvings on either side, known as supporters, are of green men peering out from leaves. The one on the left has his tongue out. Many representations of these Christianized mythical fertility figures can be found in the cathedral. To the right of the seat is a tall supporting post. If you run your hands up as far as you can reach, you will find some carved animals' heads.
Your next stop will be by the steps leading down to the south transept. Retrace your steps past the rows of chairs and leave by the door you entered through. This will take you into the south choir aisle, and you will be aware of the enclosed sound after the high vaulting of the choir. It will also be darker in the aisle. Cross over the aisle to the blank arcading on the other side and follow this along to the end to find the open wrought iron gates at the top of the steps leading down to the transept. Keep to the left of the gates as the steps down to the transept are just on the other side. Switch off now and switch on again when you're by the gates.